Let's think together about the man who never died. His name is Enoch, and the record is given in Hebrews 11, 5, and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Genesis chapter 5 gives us additional information about this man Enoch, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. And then the little book of Jude, verses 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch was an interesting man, and Enoch is listed along with the other great believers in Hebrews 11 because he had a unique experience. Enoch lived in difficult times. Evil days had come upon the world. These were the days right before the flood. And if you want to read what those days were like, just read Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, we're told how that men turned their back on God. They went their own way. They laughed at God. They became violent, lustful, corrupt. The whole world was filled with violence and corruption. And yet, in the midst of those evil days before the flood, Enoch was able to walk with God and keep his life clean. Now, I believe we are living in evil days just before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that God is being very patient with this world. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. God has every right to send judgment down upon this wicked world. We have polluted and wrecked the world that He gave us. People are ruining their bodies and their minds. They are corrupting the minds and the bodies of others just to make money. We are living in a worldwide sewer, and the filth of the nations must be a stench in the nostrils of God. Is it possible for us to live clean lives in a dirty world? Is it possible to live loving lives in a violent world? True lives in a cheating, lying world? The answer is yes. And Enoch shows us how it's possible to keep clean in a dirty world. What were the resources that Enoch had at his disposal that enabled him to live a clean life in a dirty world? And at the end, to have the testimony that he pleased God and to receive the reward of God. How was it possible for this man Enoch, surrounded by corruption and filth, to keep his life pure? Well, his first resource, of course, was that he believed God. He believed God. He was a man of faith. The suggestion is given in Genesis chapter 5 that it was the birth of the baby boy that precipitated this man's faith. He says, Moses says in Genesis 5, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. There's something about the birth of a baby that awakens spiritual interest in the lives of people. I've been a pastor for many years. I can recall performing marriage ceremonies for couples who were not really spiritual people, but they wanted to get married and they loved each other and they did know the Lord. And then that first child comes along and oh my, they realize here we have a child to raise. Here we have a young life to guide. And they say, Pastor, would you help us? We want to be more spiritual. I want to be a spiritual father, spiritual mother to this child. The word of God came to Enoch. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. and Enoch believed the word of God. The indication seems to be that God said to Enoch, now this baby that was born, Methuselah, when he dies, judgment is going to come. If you'll calculate the various dates that are given there in Genesis 5, you'll discover that this is exactly what happened. That the year that Methuselah died was the year that the flood came. No wonder Enoch prophesied or preached, behold, the Lord cometh to execute judgment upon all. And notice the emphasis on that word ungodly, to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He believed God, and believing God, he was rescued from that wrath that came. I believe that Enoch is a picture to us of the church. We are living in a godless world, and we are surrounded by people who don't believe the way we believe and don't behave the way we behave. And yet one day we are going to be taken to be with the Lord just as Enoch was. His resource was faith. He believed God. Secondly, he walked with God. I understand from a magazine article that I read that the average housewife walks 10 miles a day in that house. The average man on the job walks 9 miles. The average high school student walks 16 miles. I have questions about that because I see so many automobiles parked in these high school parking lots. But it may be the buildings are big and they have to run up and down the stairs. The average waitress walks 13 miles. I should think she'd walk more than the high school student. The average policeman, 18 miles a day. Well, the issue is not how many miles, but what direction are you going and with whom are you walking? You notice that Abel emphasizes the worship of faith and Enoch emphasizes the walk of faith. Abel speaks about salvation through the blood, Enoch separation unto God. The name Enoch means dedicated. Enoch was dedicated to God. He was separated from the wickedness around him. Now, some folks don't like preachers to talk about separation, but separation is taught in the Word of God. Enoch walked with God. Listen to 2 Corinthians, if you will, please, beginning at verse 14 of chapter 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord, or sympathy, harmony, hath Christ with Belial, the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, at salvation, and walk in them, there's separation. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And Paul applies this, having therefore these promises. What promises? That God will walk with us, and walk in us, and be our God, and love us as a father. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He walked with God. Now, in order to walk with God, you have to agree with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. You can't argue with God and walk with God. You can't doubt God's word and walk with God. And it wasn't easy for him to walk with God because the Canaanite civilization was prospering. Cain had turned his back on God, built a city, built a great civilization. People said to Enoch, you know, you're a fool. Everybody else is prospering and successful, and here you are living this separated life. Well, he walked with God. I'd rather walk with God than to walk with the whole world. He who walks with God is never walking alone. He who walks with God is never walking astray. He who walks with God is walking on that narrow road that leads to life. The popular way leads to death, which leads us to the third resource. He believed God, he walked with God, and thirdly, he pleased God. He had this testimony, says Hebrews 11:5, that he pleased God. Now, you can live to please yourself if you want to, or you can live to please the world, or you can live to please God. Paul wrote and said, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of him." Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Not what's acceptable to my friends. What's acceptable to the Lord? 1 Thessalonians 4:1, "Furthermore then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." I wonder how many people these days ever stop to see whether or not God is pleased with what they're doing. We read that David sinned, and the scripture says, "But the thing that he had done displeased God." God looked down one day at his beloved son and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Whatever glorifies Jesus Christ pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God." Hebrews 11:6. Whatever is done by faith pleases God. In John 8:29, our Lord said, "The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Jesus lived to please God. Now, if you walk in the flesh, you can't please God. Romans 8:8, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Ephesians 6:6 tells us we should do the will of God from the heart. Enoch believed God, and Enoch walked with God, and Enoch pleased God. Finally, Enoch went home to be with God. You see, Enoch lived in the future tense. God had spoken to Enoch because that's where faith comes from. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God had told Enoch that judgment was going to come. As Enoch walked with God, he witnessed for God. He gave witness that God was going to judge sin. Enoch was one of the few witnesses in that wicked, wicked world. The others, of course, were Noah and his family. Can you imagine? Here is Enoch standing alone trying to raise this baby, Methuselah, and he knows that when the year that Methuselah dies, judgment's going to come, and yet Enoch never saw that judgment. He went home to be with God. Enoch is a picture to us of the rapture of God's people. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that one day Jesus Christ shall return in the air, and we shall be caught up to meet him in the air. It's possible that some listening to me now will never die. It's possible that Jesus Christ will return and take all of us home. And it's possible that Jesus Christ could return today or tomorrow. We don't know when he's going to come. Well, Enoch walked with God and went home to be with God. He was translated. Now, the word translated means carried across. Now, the same idea is given in Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." When you were saved, God carried you across from the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of God, from the kingdom of darkness into light, from the kingdom of death into life. You have been translated spiritually. Now, one day, we shall be translated physically. One day we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Many people feel that with Enoch and Noah, we have sort of a dual picture. Noah went through that judgment and came out on the other side and established the new earth there. Enoch was raptured before the judgment. There are going to be those who are going to be saved during the tribulation period, and they'll be saved through the tribulation period, and they'll be carried through safe on the other side. I believe that those of us who belong to the church, I mean by that the body of Christ, not just a local assembly, those of us who belong to Jesus Christ are going to be carried away home before judgment falls. We have been saved from the wrath to come. God has not appointed us to judgment, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we might live together with him. One of the things that kept Enoch clean was looking forward to meeting God. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, Enoch only had one promise to keep him going. He knew that one day he would escape judgment and be with the Lord. He had that one promise. We have a whole Bible. You'd think that we could keep our lives clean and walk with God since we have the whole Word of God to feed upon. We have the examples of all of these dear people in Hebrews 11. Enoch lived in the future tense. And when he was tempted by that civilization and culture around him, he just simply said, no, no, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with God someday. This is not the kind of thing I want to do. Here then are the spiritual resources that we can draw upon if we're going to keep our lives clean in this dirty, filthy world. We must believe God. That's what Enoch did. By faith, he believed God. Believe the Word of God. The real world is the world that you read about in the Bible, not the world you see. The world you see around you looks so glamorous, so wonderful, but the world in the Bible is the real world. The Bible tells us that this present evil world is godless, and in spite of culture and in spite of all the religion you may see, this present evil world behind the scenes is the working of the evil one. Now believe God and walk with God. Separate yourself from that which is evil and live to please God. You can't always please men, but you can please God, and God is not hard to live with. And then keep before you the promise that you're going to go home to be with God. In my Father's house are many mansions, said the Lord Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.